You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. Huge upgrade sale coming up June 22nd to 24th. It's going to be a barbecue. They're going to have all sorts of free food and additional savings. $1,500 on trucks, $1,000 on SUVs, and $750 on cars. Check it out at lakewoodchev.com. Let's get to Andy Strickland, ringside reporter, Fox Sports in St. Louis. Andy, how you doing?
I'm scared of you, what I'm walking into.
Have you ever milked a cow, Andy?
Never.
Never. Okay, nice.
And I don't think I ever will, to be honest with you.
Well. Yeah, that's fair. Lots happening. The St. Louis Blues, a big trade at the draft, acquiring Braden Schenn, getting rid of Letera's contract, and then giving up two picks. They also walk away from Nail Yakupov, no surprise, because he has a $2.5 million contract. I guess let's start with the Schenn move. Did that catch you off guard, surprise you?
Oh, I think so. I think it caught everybody off guard. I mean, Braden Schenn's coming off back-to-back 25-goal seasons. I think he had 26 last year. You know, he's a big part of their team offensively. I mean, he's a character guy. He stands up for his teammates. He's been there for six seasons. I don't think anybody expected him to be moved, but this is the National Hockey League in today's game. I guess, you know, expect the unexpected, but he's going to be a good fit here in St. Louis. St. Louis could use a character guy like him, and I think he'll have no problem settling into the Blues dressing room. He's going to have a premier role, you know, potentially centering, you know, Tarasenko and Schwartz. I mean, we'll see what happens. We'll see who else the Blues add between now and the beginning of the season next year. But this is a really, really strong move for Doug Armstrong and the Blues, not only to bring on Braden Schenn, but you also get rid of the contract for Yuri Letera, which I think a lot of people expected would be difficult to do, which is why you have a couple of first-round picks involved in this deal, one being a conditional first-rounder. But the Blues also knew at the time they made this deal that they were also about to make a trade with Pittsburgh and be able to slide back into the first round and get a player who they wanted. So I think this is a win for Doug Armstrong and the Blues. I really do.
So does this mean that Paul Stastny will be the second-line center? Is that a spot he'll be more comfortable in?
Possibly. You know, to be honest with you, I don't know if either guy, either Braden Schenn or Paul Stastny, are true, legitimate number one centers. I think they all have the ability to play against top lines in the NHL. I think they have done that in the past over the course of their career. But, you know, when you look at the top centers in the National Hockey League, I mean, do you look at Schenn or a guy like Stastny who night in and night out are probably going to win that matchup? I mean, both are pretty responsible guys. You look at Paul Stastny and his ability to win faceoffs, how smart he is in terms of his ability to play with, you know, with quality players like Schenn. You know, he can do the same thing. But again, it's all about having depth, and the more centers you have, the better. And we'll see what else the Blues look to add. Like I mentioned, I know they've had contact with Joe Thornton. I'm not going to sit here and suggest Joe Thornton's going to come to St. Louis, but you never know. I think Doug Armstrong's had conversations with him personally. I know they've also talked to his agent, like a lot of teams have done. But if anything, it tells me the Blues are still looking to add if they feel like there are good players out there still left.
Looking at their blue line, and they traded away Shattenkirk at the trade deadline. You've got Petrangelo and Bo Meester, young Edmondson and Parayko, of course. Now, Parayko needs a contract. Any numbers you hear flying around, Andy? Well, what do you think they're looking at for length and money from him?
Well, I think they would look at a number of different concepts. I mean, obviously, if the two sides can't agree to a deal, they'll do a short-term deal and then get back at it either next year or the year after that. But I don't think the Blues would have any issue locking him up for 6 or 7 years. I mean, he's that type of player. Also, knowing him off the ice, you know, with the Blues having that ability to be able to do that the last couple of years, seeing how he interacts with his teammates. This guy's one of the nicest kids ever to come in the National Hockey League. I mean that. Almost too nice. You know, he's been deferring on the ice a little bit the last couple of years. When you look at some of the other defensemen that have been here, they want to see him take charge and really take a bigger step this year, much like what we saw in the World Championships when he was quarterbacking the power play and seemed to initiate the play a little more and be a little more aggressive, you know, in that setting than maybe he has been here in St. Louis. So I think that's part of the natural progression for a young player in the National Hockey League. But he's going to get paid some big-time dollars. I mean, obviously it depends on how many years of unrestricted free agency you're taking away if he agrees to a long-term contract extension versus doing a shorter deal. But I can't imagine it's going to be very difficult to get a deal done with him, considering the relationship he and the organization have right now.
You know, when you traded, when the team traded away Shattenkirk last year, you know, people were like, oh, they're tossing the towel. But the team kind of went almost the other way. Does that kind of reinvigorate the organization and maybe the management to make some of these moves they've made?
Yeah, you know, I think that's a great question, because I think even internally the organization was thinking, hey, this is why we're moving Shattenkirk. You know, it's because we're not Stanley Cup contenders. I think that's what they were thinking, you know. And then all of a sudden Jake Allen turned things around. Mike Yeo comes on board as the head coach, and, you know, a switch goes off, and the Blues, you know, were one of the best teams in the NHL down the stretch, and they were able to get to the second round of the playoffs. So maybe the mindset has changed a little bit. They still want to win, and they're still going to spend to the cap. You know, I mean, you know, that's the way I look at it. If you're spending to the cap, then you should expect to win. You know, I don't know of anybody who's out there spending to the cap and just saying, hey, we hope to be a playoff team. You're spending to the cap, you should expect to contend for a Stanley Cup. This is the way I look at it, in my opinion. But, you know, you look at what they did here with Braden Schenn. I think they're a better team now than they were, you know, in the playoffs last year just by his addition alone and the subtraction of a contract like Jori Lehterä. I mean, that's a big, big upgrade. Jori Lehterä has never scored 20 goals in his life in any league, anywhere, and he probably never will. This guy has had incredible opportunities since he's been over here in the National Hockey League to play mostly with Vladimir Tarasenko, one of the most dangerous players in the world, yet he could never really produce points, you know? And so at the end of the day, your number one center's got to be able to produce offense, or your number two center's got to be able to put up some points. And it looks like they have that now with Stastny and Schenn, or vice versa. And who knows, there could be another center that comes into the mix. And also, these guys can all play a variety of positions. I mean, Stastny's a centerman, but Schenn can play the wing if necessary. You know, you got Ivan Barbashev, who came on strong late last season, who's a former second-round pick, played most of the year last year in the minors. But he was their number one center down the stretch during the course of the regular season, and at times even in the playoffs. So he got some pretty good experience. And this kid's going to be a really good player. So, again, they're going to have some options. But if you look at this team right now, Vladimir Sobotka is another guy who can play winger center. They've got a lot of versatility up front.
Now, what about Ryan Reeves making that trade? Did you see that one coming in your crystal ball?
No, it wasn't in my crystal ball. But I got to say this, you know, and there's been a little bit of an uproar here because Ryan Reeves was a fan favorite.
Sure.
Just like every other tough guy that's played in St. Louis over the course of the last 50 years. If you're a tough guy, you're a fan favorite. And this guy has some value, not only on the ice, but also off the ice. And he improved as a player. You know, I don't think the same reaction would have taken place if this trade was made going into last season as opposed to just a few days ago at the draft, because he had his best season, probably a breakout season for him, 7 goals on the year, but obviously, you know, had more responsibility. I think his ice time, you know, you look down the stretch, he was consistently playing in double digits, 10 minutes a game, 12 minutes a game. There were games that he was playing 14 minutes a night, almost bumped up to be a third line. You know, I mean, we all call them the fourth line, but they were pretty much the third line down the stretch, the way he and Upshaw and Kyle Brodziak were playing with one another. And the Blues had some injuries and some other stuff going on that led to that. But the way I look at it is, you know, if you're an NHL GM, and a team calls and offers you a first-round pick for your fourth-line player, I think you got to listen. And that's what Doug Armstrong did. You know, Ryan Reeves is going to be a UFA after this coming season, and I'm not so sure they were going to want to, you know, commit the dollars that he might be able to command, you know, moving forward. And, you know, listen, Doug Armstrong likes that type of player in his lineup, having a little physicality, having that presence, and I do think he's going to look to replace Ryan Reeves over the course of the next few weeks in free agency, so I think he will look to do that. But at the end of the day, if you're able to get back into the first round after moving a first-round pick for Schenn and then get Klim Kostin, who a lot of teams had ranked at their top 10, some in the top 5, in terms of his ability, the Russian they grabbed at 31st overall, who missed most of last season because of a shoulder surgery. Going to have a chance to watch him skate tomorrow at prospect camp, and I'm looking forward to that just to see him play. But this guy's a bull in a china shop just in terms of how he plays and how he impacts the game if you watch his highlight reel and if you watch him play in some of these international competitions. So to move Ryan Reeves to stay in the first round and get that kid at 31, the organization had to do that, in my opinion.
Nail Yakupov, not qualified by the Blues. You saw him last year. He wasn't a regular in the lineup, any stretch of the imagination.
No.
do you? He's not coming back to St. Louis. I think that's obvious. I saw you tweet about it. No surprise there. But do you think it? Like, is he a guy that might get a two-way contract from a team just because of his pedigree and maybe a team struggling for some players? Or was there anything that you saw that said, okay, this guy could be an NHL regular?
Yeah, I'm not convinced in that, to be honest. I thought coming to St. Louis, playing with more established players who have been in a winning environment, maybe with an established coach, I really thought maybe that would help Nail Yakupov. And there were games where he played pretty good. Hockey, you know. I mean, his biggest struggle is the ability to play within a system. You know, I mean, honestly, if we had a bunch of NHL players out there and we were playing a pickup game, I mean, he may be one of the first players you pick just because of his ability to skate and kind of freewheel, right? But he doesn't have to play defense. He doesn't have to play within a structure or a system. And sometimes processing that structure and seeing what's in front of you and understanding how to play within the system seems to be a little bit of a challenge for Nail Yakupov. He's got a lot of individual ability. But for those of you who have been around the National Hockey League, and I know, Struds, obviously you played in the NHL, you're well aware of it. It's more than that to play in the NHL game. You've got to be able to think the game a little bit as well. And I wish nothing but the best for him. I will say this about Nail Yakupov. He's one of the nicer, one of the better people that I've been around in a long, long time. You know, there were stretches where he didn't play for weeks and weeks and weeks, and he's being back skated, and he comes off the ice, and he had the same attitude every day. It was almost like, wow, is this kid for real? Like, is he always that happy? Is he always in that good of a mood? You almost felt bad for him at times, and then you look and see that he's making $2.5 million, and you say, okay, I don't feel that bad for him. But obviously they weren't going to qualify him at that number. They're going to let him walk into free agency. Yakupov told me following his exit meeting, and he had a knee injury that basically ended his season during the playoffs, so he wasn't available during the course of the playoffs. He had a scope and had that operated on during the postseason. But, you know, we were talking one day when he was leaving the building, and he told me he definitely wants to return and play in the National Hockey League. I've been talking to his agent a little bit, and we'll see how many teams call. I do know this. When you're the former first overall pick, you have more lives than most players around the National Hockey League. So just by being the former first overall pick, he's going to probably get another opportunity or possibly two. Will he get it one way? You know, I would think that he probably would. I don't see Nail Yakupov staying in North America to play in the American Hockey League, but I could be wrong.
Andy, great stuff as always. We will wait with interest to see what unfolds starting Saturday for free agency. Appreciate your time.
Okay, anytime, fellas. Take care.